Hey guys, we've got a great show tonight lined up for you. We've got a great cast. We're going to be getting a lot of geek on tonight. I mean, we're talking scientific geek and every other type of geek known to man. It's going to be fun. I hope you guys are ready for and we've got the well-awaited 1 week overdue super rant. So we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're excited for you guys to join us. Just going to get ourselves our bearings straight here. So give us just a second. Welcome all you geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Masonic Vader here, hosting the All Things Nerd podcast, news podcast. Yeah, there you go too. Hey, it is quarantine week 4. So that means we're on season 4, episode 14, or what I like to call the quarantine saga. I am your host, Masonic Vader. So usually we introduce ourselves and tell us what we're geeking out on. So what are you getting your geek on or not getting your geek on?
Ain't nobody getting time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Joining us tonight on cast, we have with us Icy's Doro. Welcome, sir.
How's it going? I am starting to lose my mind slowly but surely. Not really starting, continuing to. Just been sitting around playing. I'm 14 years late to the party, but I just started watching Torchwood. Pretty good.
Oh my God, where have you been?
Barrowman's going a little hard in this first season. He might need to bring it down a level or three. And then I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty, but as of today, Final Fantasy VII Remake is available for playing, so I will be doing that. Yay! As soon as we're done with this cast.
Yay!
By the way, no spoilers on Torchwood, okay? It's been, everyone's got to get through it, right, buddy? All right, all like four of you left.
I know not everybody's on my blazing pace.
Jeez, yeah, Torchwood blazing.
I think I've watched it 14 times for every time you haven't watched it in the last 14 years.
What did that come on? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, neither have I.
It was a BBC show. It's a spinoff of Doctor Who. It's Captain Jack Harkness leading his team of. I can't remember what they're called.
The first season, they're pretty much just searching for like alien artifacts and technology and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Stargate.
It's got a great cast, though.
Yeah, really good cast. Yeah. Decent horror-themed episodes so far.
Ooh, horror.
Oh, it gets better. Just wait till season 2.
Where is it streaming on?
Say BBC?
I know that it is. It's a BBC 3 show from 2006. Okay. So I don't know. Okay.
All right. Now,
I guess since you are speaking, Miss Malice, how are you doing tonight? What are you geeking out on? What you're not geeking out on?
Okay. So what am I geeking out on? What just came out last night? Final Fantasy VII, of course. So that is my new geek out.
There you go. How many hours have you spent already?
I was up until 5 a.m. yesterday playing it. So, yeah, and I didn't get much time on it today, which I'm sad about. But probably after this, I will probably go play it, maybe.
Very nice indeed. And then, of course, joining us all the way from the Midwest there, it's Ranger Nick. How you doing, sir? You got to turn off your mute, sir.
No, I was laughing really hard first because – first, you said Midwest, and that's totally not my region. And second, you called me Ranger instead of Raider.
So I like Ranger Nick. Texas is technically in the middle.
It's Southwest.
Whatever. We're the Southwest. You're in the
Texas
middle.
Texas is just Texas.
You're just Texas.
You're in the Mid-South.
Yeah. If you want to say Middle South, Mid-South, that's fine.
But all right, we'll go Mid-South. But Raider, Ranger, Nick, how you doing? What you geeking out on? What's going on?
Just another glorious week of working from home. And I have not been on the cast since I finished this show that I really, really like and I highly recommend for everybody listening. If you haven't watched Ozark, please start watching. Ozark Season 3 was the best season yet. I binged that in about 2 days. Amazing show. highly recommend it. If you like Jason Bateman, you'll love this show.
You know, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't gotten around to see it. I still have plenty of time to do so. So I think I might jump on that pretty soon myself.
Highly recommend it.
And Red does agree with you as far as the Southwest. It's upper Midwest straddling the Mississippi. Ooh, that's sexy. Yeah.
Super, where I grew up.
Super Hoovian, how you doing tonight? What you geeking out on?
Well, as far as binging, I guess, I re-binged all of this season of Modern Family to prepare to watch the series finale tomorrow night. So that was what I did yesterday. I'm going to miss the show. I know it's time for it to go. Don't get me wrong. It's been on a long time. But it's, you know, this show revolutionized a lot of the way that we look at families today. And I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the characters. I love Jesse Tyler Ferguson. I love Eric Stone Street. And so it's going to, I hope it's a good finale when I watch it tomorrow. I haven't seen any spoilers yet. So I really hope it's been a good
on
one.
For 11 years and it's
11
like
years. Yeah. But it doesn't feel funny. Like it's been 11 no. years. I mean, Ty Burrell, Phil Dunphy, I need a spinoff of Phil Dunphy, the magician. I don't care if it's a YouTube series. I don't care if it gets picked up by primetime. Just give me Ty Burrell doing magic, please.
Just lets us know how old we are.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that Ed O'Neill has now been a part of two different families? Like you said, this one right now has us looking at families differently. And then back in the 90s, he came out with Married with Children, which totally spun things.
Yeah, in their direction. Love that show. Yeah.
Ideally, yeah. Though, he did play a way different character in this one. Well, not way different, but
just
a different character, different dynamic. But I am really gonna miss the show.
Nice, yeah. So I've been geeking out on. I actually watched a mini docuseries on Netflix this week, and I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's Don't Kill Cats on the f***ing Internet. And have you seen that yet?
No.
Yeah, Don't Mess with Cats on the f***ing Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's totally like you read that beginning, you're like, okay, well, I don't think I'm going to watch this because it's about cats on the Internet. Whoop-de-doo. But then you forget about reading that little small thing down below. It says, oh, yeah, it's the chase of a murder or something. I'm like, what? And it's three episodes, and it's flipping crazy, man. It is crazy. I won't tell you anything, but if you haven't seen it yet, they're 45-50 minute episodes. There's only three of them. Take 2 hours out of your 2.5 hours out of your day and watch that. It was a great series.
I second that. Don't F with cats.
Are you talking about the Netflix show with the whole cat thing?
And there's Miss Malice joining in. Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I had to take care of a dog situation.
Messing with cats on the Internet, see?
That's don't F with dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, don't mess with dogs either.
welcome. Now, obviously, first things first, I want to make sure we thank our parent site, Malice-Corp, for allowing us to do this show on a weekly basis. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining us live here on Twitch. Of course, Red Meepaw is already in there, and I see Zorro has... Now subscribe for 16 months. Congratulations, sir. Thank you very much. But
it's easier for me to find that subscribe button when I'm actually doing Twitch on the laptop than the phone.
Yes. That does come in handy. I got my phone right in front of me. That's why I have someone else do it half the time. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. And if you're not joining us live, you're going to miss out because this is going to be a great cast where the Twitch chat channel, I think, is going to kind of blow up tonight. So if you're not on it yet, if you're driving home, get home safe, but hustle to your computer, whatever you're going to get to, and start watching us on Twitch. You can follow the fun on live on the chat. But hey, we got a good show tonight. It's actually gonna be really geeky and techie and all that fun stuff, because you know what, the pandemic, it's just bringing everything to us. So let's get this nerd news going. Like I said, we got some great stuff going on. I want to start off our cast with this really interesting article that came out this week. Apparently, 60,000 years ago, there was a forest on the Earth. Probably many of them. But this but this particular force is kind of cool because during its whole transition period of life during that time, it got itself embedded in sediment and it's been buried and then, of course, eventually swallowed up by the oceans. And back in 2004, Hurricane Ivan came through and kind of released some sediment around there. And some scientists have actually found a preserved forest from over 60,000 years ago in the water, in the ocean, and they've actually already done some diving to it. Their hope is that it's so well preserved that they've been able to find animals, over 300 types of animals that are carrying different types of bacteria that they're hoping that's actually novel bacteria. And for you guys who aren't totally geeked out on science and stuff, and even from time to time, you got to look it up. Novel means that's the original or the one of the origins of the bacteria itself. So it's very clean, first origin. We could really get a lot of good knowledge out of it. And what they're trying to do with it is try to turn it in into different types of antibiotics that can kill off parasites and potentially work on other things as well.
Yeah, because this is stuff that hasn't been around for 60 millennia.
That's 60,000 years,
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so but, the pictures are
at the same time, like, isn't that how we start pandemics? Like, wasn't that the start of World War Z, was them thawing something out in the middle of China somewhere?
And, all like, right,
bacteria got released and everybody became a zombie.
Come on, let's don't bring bat.
Avoid that for now.
No, it started with someone eating a bat.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But it's really cool, though. If you go to the article, they show some of the pictures. They were actually able to cut out a piece of the tree, and they said the bark was still attached to it. They're focusing on a shipworm, which isn't new to us, but this one in particular, because of being so old, has different strands of bacteria to it and everything. I mean, that's crazy. It's 60,000 years old, and it looks like it just came out of the forest kind of thing. Super. What did you think about that article?
You know, I mean, it was cool. I'm not really interested in that stuff. I mean, it was cool. I mean,
old logs. Great.
I was just like, great. It didn't, petrified forest. Been there, done that. Cool. It's cool that it's been around for so long, but what are we going to do with it? What is it? I don't know. Does it teach us something just about how long we've been here?
Well,
it's all this bacteria and stuff that hasn't been seen for so long that they're just testing it to see what we can make out of it, like possible, you know, cures or treatments.
Is it going to be a vaccine to what's going on right now? Because otherwise, I don't care. No. I don't care.
You're getting your binge on. Raider, your thoughts, sir?
Get off of mute here. I've always been fascinated by geography, astronomy, all this stuff, history. Like, my degree's in history, so this kind of stuff is right up my alley. But in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of crazy. Like, humans have been around for 200,000 years, and this is only 60,000 years old. So we actually predate this forest, which kind of gives you a perspective of how long we've been around. But still, really cool to kind of see something that hasn't been touched in millennia. And hopefully something good can come out of it, like what we're talking about with, like, doing some research and getting some antibodies of things that can help cure future diseases. That would be ideal.
You know, cure COVID, cure the clap. Who knows? I mean, it'll come up with something, hopefully, you know. Miss Malice, it looks like you want to say something about this, Mrs. Malice. What do you think?
I mean, when I was little, I had two jobs I always wanted to do. One was be a veterinarian. The other one was wanting to be an archaeologist. So again, this would probably be up my alley because it's petrified. It's something I'm going to want to look at. And if it does come up with some kind of cure for something, maybe not what's going on right now because it's pretty old, but at the same time, it's super cool to see stuff like that, to see something that was so long ago, even with our generation, that we get to see something that it's old, but it's not that old. Like, you know, looking at dinosaurs, that's old. This is something that's old, but new.
So yeah, I think
it's cool.
I think something that actually is awesome, too, is the fact that it's closer to our, like, the dinosaurs are so far back
Yeah.
This is close to our era that it could possibly lead to other stuff. Yeah. All right, cool. We got our science stuff on. I think we're going to move on because I think we got to pick up the pace on the energy levels. And I think we need to get into some comics, especially because these comics are going to look pretty damn cool. We're switching over. All Things Nerd Podcast, now talking comics. Yes. There are two comics that have come out or they're talking about coming out with here pretty soon. There's my notes right there, guys. Yeah. I want to talk about, which I don't know, I have my thoughts on it and stuff, is Gotham High. Okay, they're going to be producing a comic on Gotham High. To kind of give you what the backstory is, I mean, obviously you can already tell right off the bat, it's high school, Bruce Wayne. They've done some twists to it, though, and this is, I'm going to keep my personal feelings to myself till the end. I want you guys to speak about it. But some of the twists are, first of all, Bruce Wayne is Asian, apparently, in this one, which is obviously something slightly different than what normal, okay, what's in the comic itself. He gets together, so he already knows Selina Kyle, and he knows Jack Napier. Now, for people who are not big on Batman, and I know our producer is probably going to shoot me if I, Selina Kyle is eventually Catwoman in the comic books, and Jack Napier is the person who kills Bruce Wayne's parents at the movie theater, and also turns into
possibly
the Joker.
Sometimes, not always. Yeah.
So it's just weird because the time. First of all, the time frame is all messed. Anyways, I'm starting to get out of turn. Okay. Jack Napier has a thing for Selina Kyle in high school, and it looks like Selina and Bruce Wayne are hooked up together. So it's starting this whole, like, whatever.
Yeah. Jack Napier is Ducky, and Bruce Wayne is Andrew McCarthy.
Selina Kyle is Catwoman, right? Because I'm not
even. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked that I knew that.
She got one. Everyone, take a drink. Yay! For that one. Take a drink for that one.
The non-DC fan got that one.
Man, all right so who's got their thoughts on this? I'm holding mine to the last because mine's gonna be a mini rant.
I like it. I mean, I think it's fun to change up some of the details, get a little more inclusion. I think it's interesting that in this version the Wayne fortune has been generated by his mother, which is pretty cool. That's a different way to go. But I don't know, I mean, like, aren't there already so many, you know, different timelines and varieties of Batman? Like, it's just another flavor. I like it.
This one is just, it's kind of a way to bring Batman to the new generation for those that don't have access to the old comic books or maybe don't have parents that have. So this introduces them to the world and the characters, which is kind of cool. And kids today, they thrive off this stuff. That's why shows like Riverdale and Sabrina, they all do well with this kind of young adult setting. And it's nice that they've changed it enough to where it's kind of like based on Batman, but it's not actually like Batman canon. So I kind of like that. And plus, I read a strip on Facebook, if you guys haven't read it, the JL8 by an artist named Yale Stewart, where he's taken all of the DC characters, but he's made them kids in elementary school. So they have all of their like smarts and powers and things like that, but they're children. And that's really fun to read too. So I kind of like it.
Raider, you got anything to throw in here about this?
I think it's fun to take different twists on things and kind of find get something a new look and show a different aspect. The only thing is like, I mean, I don't really see the need to like change like someone like completely because everybody's so used to it being like Bruce Wayne. I mean, you can do a completely different aspect of it, but I'm like, you don't have to like make him like Asian or something like that all of a sudden. Like, I'm trying to be inclusive. Like, you can do another spinoff to where someone's like a Batman and then he's like not Bruce Wayne, but from somewhere else. Yeah. But if you're doing Batman to where it's Bruce Wayne, it just doesn't make sense to make him Asian all of a sudden. It's like,
so you prefer to do more of like a Miles Morales kind of situation.
Yeah, like do someone else as like a Batman, but or kind of like what they did with the Spider-Man movie, yeah, the animated one.
Yeah, Miles Morales.
So here's I was holding back. I almost went Robin from Teen Titans on you guys. Like, seriously, this is crazy. I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. There's so many things that's wrong with this. First of all, to know that that Bruce Wayne, Selina Kyle, and Jack Napier know each other in high school. Come on, dude. Batman's parents were killed while he was a kid, an orphan, by Jack Napier, who was like a young adult, so 20s maybe.
Seriously like that. The characters. It's like an alternate universe. Think of it like that.
Then you do it
more tuned for the kids.
But that's kind of what it is. It's supposed to be written with that alternate universe flair. It's the characters we all know, but they're all different. And I don't know, maybe it's because I edit fan fiction for people because I'm super bored right now, that I can put myself in that mind frame. Oh, okay, well, it's the characters and it's some of their personality traits, but they're all completely different in a different setting. So maybe that's why I can embrace that a little bit better.
And my thing is, too, they're more trying to target kids nowadays versus what we grew up with. Because that's why they keep changing some things and they switch things around, is because they're trying to target a generation. And that's what this is. They're trying to target a generation. Most generations now, like the because whole high school scene, where now, you know, back then we were more like crime fighting detectives.
Well, and also to think about it this way, we live in a politically correct world. A lot of the stuff from the 50s doesn't fly with kids today. They see it as offensive, misogynistic, this, and this. So this is a way for them to bring those characters in, get them hooked, and then maybe they'll start reading the old stuff.
Yeah, so that it is. It's a hook factor. It's like a bait and hook kind of thing they're trying.
But I do agree, though, it is not Batman canon in any way, shape, or form.
It's not It's different.
No. So if I can finish now. Yeah,
yes, go ahead.
Thank you. If they're going to do that, then I agree with Raider. You need to switch the people outright, because Jack Napier and Batman are not the same age. Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne did not know each other in high school. Change the entire – like, have the same idea, like he said, but then change the people up, because this is asinine. Batman has been around for 80 years. Everyone knows the backstory of it. I get it. They're trying to pull a Smallville comic book series-wise. I get it, but you could do that with some other type of multi or the alternate universe. I don't know if DC hits the different universes is hardcore. I know they use the Speed Force and everything to kind of change it up more like how Marvel does it and everything. But you can't be messing with the original stuff. You're trying to hook somebody. And then you get them hooked and they start reading the comic books, the real ones or the original ones. They're like, well, what the hell is going on here?
Then they have no taste.
I just think they need to do something different than that. They change the entire thing up. You can't change an origin story that hard. That's hardcore changing to totally change.
What did you think of Gotham?
I did not like Gotham.
There you go. Well, okay. At least, I mean, you're consistent, then that's okay.
Yeah,
then.
No, it's one of those things where you know what everything's about. If you're going to dive into a part of his life, then dive into a part of his life, but quit trying to fabricate. Why don't you add new stuff to it versus trying to twist it together like that? I'm not a big fan of it. We'll see what happens, though.
Long as I stick with the whole it's an alternate universe in my head, I'm okay.
I agree.
Strictly in my head, this is an alternate universe. This is not based on anything remotely canon, and I can deal with it that way.
But now the other thing is, though, too, if it is an alternate universe, well, how are their ages changing then? Because
it's alternate.
If you've watched everything that goes alternate universe, all they do is they change their background and stuff like that. Other than that, they're all the same people.
But you're still putting it in this perspective of canon. This is literally an alternate. It's literally just, think of it like The Legend of the Seeker, which is a TV show that pissed me off at first when you compare it to the books. When it's literally just, if I put myself in the mind frame of this is loosely based on the characters that are written, but it's my alternate story with these characters, how I want them portrayed.
Is it that hard to come up with a different name?
And who's to say in an alternate universe we're not all like 80 years old? I mean,
why couldn't they say Wayne Bruce? I'd go with Wayne Bruce over Bruce Wayne.
Wayne Bruce.
Napier Jack. Jim Napier. Kyle Selena. I don't know. Whatever. Put some. Anyways. All right. Let's move. Because I keep
dating someone named Kyle. That is a change.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Because that's more affixated to what is going on with our world today, with the whole all the things going on. So that would make sense too. It'd be dating somebody named Kyle. Batman. Bruce Wayne is dating somebody named Kyle. That is cat, man, woman.
Kyle can be a unisex name.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. Next, the other comic book that came out, I thought was actually pretty cool how they did this one. As if you get the comics still in the month, because they produce comics on a monthly basis, they have obviously been one of the industries that have been put on hold as well with the current stuff going on. So one of the artists from Marvel had actually been able to help us out a little bit. The artist's name is Sachi Itawira, I believe is how you say the last name. And he actually had released a 4-page mini comic of Magneto called Eric. And I checked it out there. Now, from what I understand, unless I was seeing a different one, the ones that he tweeted, those were the finished products. So there's no words. It's allowing you to be able to visually come up with the story, the plot yourself and everything, or put the words in for yourself. Did I see that right, Zoro?
They weren't like empty speech bubbles or anything. It was purely, it was a visual only story. Yeah. And it was only 4 pages. It's relatively short. Great artist though.
Yeah. Good artistry. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Were you guys able to check it out? Mrs. Malice, did you check those out?
I kind of did, and I like it because I'm a Marvel person, so I thought they'd be awesome, and I want to see more of them.
I wanted more. It looked pretty cool. I mean,
I want more.
From what it looks like, he goes into a house, he rips apart a robot, some woman's shot, he takes in the kid. You can go so many different levels with this.
Yeah, and that's why I like Marvel, because it's so many different levels.
Raider, did you see it, sir?
Yes, I looked at it. The only thing that I do with comic books, and this has been since I was a kid, I don't know if I've told any of y'all this, I only look at the pictures. Like, that's all I've done my whole entire life is I only look at the pictures, because I'm kind of an artsy guy.
Because I never learned to read.
I read them first and then I go back and read the pictures.
Like I always just look at the pictures. I always have I'm not a big comic book person, but when I get my hands on it, I always look at the pictures because I appreciate the artwork. I'm kind of an artist myself. I grew up drawing, I still draw. So that's the thing that I've gravitated towards is the artwork on comic books.
Well, I kind of work in the art field, so yeah, I can understand that because, like, you want to look at the visual too, but like you got to read your comic books too. So you can
never did. I always look at the artwork.
Artwork. Go back and read the story because then the artwork will make more sense if you read the story too. So super, you got to do both.
I never learned how to read it.
Yay!
But. My thought is if you have to have words in a comic book, I want the comic to tell me what it is without the words, because I think that's the sign of a strong artist. If you have to go in and have speech bubbles to get the story, the big parts of the story across, then I think as an artist, you've kind of failed a little bit, but I appreciate both. I do like when there are words, because sometimes there's just, I mean, we've gotten some great quotes from dialogues and like Calvin and Hobbes. That was one of my favorite stories growing up. And I think Calvin and Hobbes really did a great job of telling the story. And then you can go back and read the words. But the guy was a genius with the facial expressions, the movement of the characters.
Amazing.
And, you know, just sometimes when they were just sitting there, you could imagine them having the philosophical conversations they were having, you know. So I'm both. But I do think that if you can't get the gist of the story from the pictures alone, you failed.
Yeah, well, that's like with books and stuff. You they have to give you the visual. Where comic books, you can see the visual. So if the if a character's happy, they're smiling in the photo. Mm-hmm. And then there's dialogue. So if they're happy and they're saying, oh, this is the best cheeseburger on the planet, and they're smiling because it tastes great, then you know that they're happy about the cheeseburger. Whereas in
a book. I've never heard of anybody going through a comic book and being like, yeah, I'm just not going to read the words.
Yeah. No, I do read them.
That's like saying, I know, but he was saying he doesn't.
That was me. I was always a very visual person. I always liked to look at the pictures and comic books.
Well,
and
that's like watching a movie and being like, I'm just going to turn the sound off. I just like camera work.
But I never owned comic books, though. I would have friends that would have them, and I would pick them up and look at all the pictures and put it down. But I was never that kind of guy to where I just bought comic books.
Raider was not hooked on Phonics comics.
I collected baseball cards.
Yeah.
Those are good too. I like baseball, so those are good too. But like,
I never looked at the stats though.
Yeah. You never looked at the stats. I was always looking at the players.
Oh my gosh. Really? Sexualizing a card. I can't believe you.
Kershaw.
Oh my gosh. So I did like it though, and I do like the idea that you could take that comic and, like you said, because there's no words, you get to put the words in yourself in a sense. You could take that on so many different levels. Like I looked at that and I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's probably his idea of how he found Jean Grey. It could be a different way of thinking about it, I guess. So,
which, if you want to talk about Jean Grey, I did finally watch the Phoenix movie, and I kind of wanted to just. I want to rewatch and never see that movie again.
And we're off on a different tangent. No, we're not going.
When you don't have dialogue, it is fun though to hear everyone's interpretation of, well, I think it was this and I think it was that. So I do like that it leaves it open for interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was cool. I hope they do more of that stuff. I really do. I mean, can you imagine though, one thing I was thinking about this as it happened. Can you imagine how many of these like mini comics are out there right now? Like, because you know these guys, these artists that do this for a living, that do it from home or back in the day would go to the offices and create these. You know that's what they do on the side. It's like when these – it's like I'm gaming right now. I'm gaming with, like, Kill Team and, you know, painting these little models that are this big and stuff. And then I've got guys that are in the same thing that are painting, like – it takes me, like, 4 weeks to paint 5 miles, and there's this guy pumping out, like, 400 a week and stuff. I mean, so there's all these little mini comics all sitting around. I hope these guys do this and start throwing out a bunch of these mini comics as these go on.
I can't wait to see the incredible creative output that's going to come out of this whole thing. Get all these creative people, like writers and producers, artists, musicians. They're sitting around not being able to do anything.
It's called doodling. All they're doing
if you haven't been on Twitter, it's all already happening. I mean, I've seen so many Stageits. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that platform, but it's a place where you can stream like live concerts and things like that. IC knows the band Loud and Swain, and he's been doing, you know, he's written like two or three songs since it came out, the Corin lead singer Swain. From that, Corin Swain. Yeah. And, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda and Andrew Lloyd Webber have been having piano offs to start the day every morning where Lin is doing Andrew stuff and Andrew is playing Lin's songs and they've been doing that every day. And so it's all there, you know, Twitter's actually a fun place to be right now. Who knew?
Yeah. I call it doodling. All these artists are literally their home. They're stuck in their homes. They're doodling. So they're going to create amazing things because they have nothing else to do. So it's called doodling. They're doodling and making fantastic things.
Just like my thumbs hurt from my gaming skills right now. I rock.
Yeah. And besides playing Final Fantasy, I'm playing with my clay and I'm doodling with my clay. So
I should really pick up a guitar again.
Doodle, doodle. Yeah, you should.
No, you shouldn't. You know what? Absolutely do it. You know why? Because maybe you could fill in like a 20-minute segment one night or something. And the best of ICs or
you know, it'd be great. He'd be sitting there with the whole cast, and then just everyone gets like, if we have like a pause moment, he just starts streaming, you know, just start playing on your guitar.
I'm just going to be the guitar guy at the party.
Yeah,
just nobody asking. I'm just going to pull out my acoustic and start singing.
Now would be a good time to like build a big model airplane. That's like, it's a perfect time to do it, but you can't, the stores aren't open to do that. I think you could like Target.
Well, no, you could build it. And then once you build it, you're going to try to take it out the door and be like, shit.
It's basically a pirate ship in a bottle in your house.
All right. Let's move on to, which I think is kind of like the most geeked out part of our night, is going to be NASA to the rescue. And then it can make some cool little thing on that, I hope. So
much space.
Yeah, so we're 4 weeks into this.
Space for activities.
We're 4 weeks into this quarantine, and we're getting to a point where we're running out of things to do, and guess who shows up out of nowhere? Good old NASA. That's right. NASA not only saved us in Armageddon, and not only did they save us in the core and whatever the other, what was the other movie? The
Deep Impact.
Yeah, NASA saved us so many times, and now they're going to save us during quarantine because they are going to unload so much stuff to us for free, which is awesome, which actually is kind of funny. If you're a teacher, you know you can go to NASA's website and they have most of this already available. But the first thing I want to start with was this really cool thing. So I think it was last year, NASA ran a competition for the conversion of CO2 challenge. It was a CO2 challenge, conversion of CO2 challenge, because they're trying to obviously make it to Mars. We talked about this a couple months ago, how they're trying to make macaroni to last longer than 3 years. Macaroni and cheese, and they're going 5. You know? So now they got to do the CO2 conversion. This company called Airco won the challenge, and they were able to convert carbon dioxide into different things using a formula that takes water and everything and breaks it down into where they could take carbon dioxide and switch it to turn it into ethanol, which is going to be great because they're doing that right now. And they're actually helping create hand sanitizer for the pandemic world right now. So that's a kudos right off of NASA. They've created so many things in life. Now they're giving us hand sanitizer. Awesome. But this company also came up
with
this.
Also a great excuse to do some bootlegging.
Ooh, hey. Well, that's actually the next part, too, because part of this is that they've been able to take carbon dioxide and change it into simple sugar molecules, which in return is going to be allowing them to, while they're in space, produce or create glucose, which is important, but then also products like plastic, they can make food with it, and medicine. And so these guys have jumped into the pandemic thing, and they've started creating all this cool stuff, or at least starting with the hand sanitizer and want to help out other ways. How freaking cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, guess what? All this cool stuff that we came up with how to do it, it's not just for space. We can use it here, too.
Absolutely. So yeah, what were your thoughts, Ms. Malice, you're jumping in, about that group Airco making sanitizer out of their CO2 conversion process and whatnot?
Good for them. We need more hand sanitizer right now. We really need it. But I'm not a space person. So, I mean, well, another topic we'll probably talk about. All about that one, but this one is science. I like my...
Raider, how about you save her? Save her, Raider.
I like the science in the dirt, not the science really that much in the stars. So,
I absolutely love astronomy. I've always been fascinated by NASA and how bright these individuals are. These rocket engineers and all the people that they have working for them, mathematicians and all those guys, they've always fascinated me with what they can do. So I'm not surprised that they're able to come up with these things and be able to get them to public consumption. I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome how they've been able to take this competition. I think they made like 50K off of it. And they're also in the part two. There's a second stage of this they're actually working on right now. But they've been able to turn this in our time of need, to be honest with you. I mean, that's really cool. I've been able to flip it. Super, anything else you want to throw in on with Airco?
Yeah, I think they just need to team up with Elon Musk and figure out a transportation device to just, you know, like start spraying down cities from the air.
Just aerosolize. Purell for the entire planet.
My eyes.
You know, well, we're all
the entire city smells like vodka.
Which we don't know if that would even do anything at this point.
You won't get it in your eyes if you're properly staying at home.
I just have a vast image of a bunch of firefighters with nothing but hand sanitizer in their trucks, and they're just spraying down the neighborhoods throughout.
That's what they did in China. I don't know if you guys have seen the videos, but they had sanitation trucks going down the streets, literally just dousing the outside of buildings with high-powered sanitation.
If it worked in China, why are we not doing it here?
I don't know. Well,
the military forces people to be there.
I honestly don't know what the end result of that was, if it actually worked or if it helped or anything, but I do know that was one thing they were doing, at least in one province in China.
I mean, the building is probably overdoing it. Maybe just the doors and the handles where we mainly touch would be smart, but buildings, that's overdoing it.
They did have a 3-month head start on us, right?
But China's philosophy is really go big or go home.
Maybe we should adopt that.
I mean, those are your three options in China. Yeah. You go big, you go home, or you die. There's no in between.
There's no in between. You take out the go home.
Yeah.
Go big or die. So going on that, NASA has now jumped in. Let's switch on really quick. NASA has also given us a lot of cool stuff to look at. Now, like I said, I go to NASA a lot, especially when it comes to my job and everything. I like to go on their website and really check out a lot of cool stuff they have. So what they've actually been able to do is they've added a lot of bonus content for us people as we're sitting around trying to figure out what to do next. One of the things that did come up is that this year is the 30th anniversary of the Hubble telescope. And I think today was actually the 50th of Apollo 13. So there's a lot of things that COVID is just totally messing us up with, man. This is crap. But part of the 30th anniversary of Hubble is that they've put a thing in to where if you would like to, you could hashtag Hubble on Twitter or Instagram, and they will send you pictures of what the Hubble took on your birthday.
They don't do just birthdays. They don't do just birthdays. They do any day you pick. You could do any day, and they will actually find it and look it up. With the job that I have, I see so much of this. They come in with these giant – it's literally a giant paper, and it's a big – it's so cool. They're so cool, actually. I love these things. I think they're awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I love them.
I see. You were going to say something there, sir?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just there's a site that you go and you just click on any date you want, and it shows you that stuff. Mm-hmm. The one for my birthday is awesome. It's two galaxies colliding 450 million light years away.
That explains a lot. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you'll be around for that one, huh? Man, I haven't seen the one on my birthday, but I go in there a lot just because I love checking out the photos and everything. It's amazing what kind of photos the Hubble has been able to provide us for the last 30 years. It was ground changing, game breaking, whatever you want to call it. There was another thing that they did on with their Hubble as well. One of their most famous pictures was a picture
that the Pillars of Creation.
Yeah. Took in 1995, the Pillars of Creation. It's incredible. It's got two, it looks like there's two pillars, a short one and a tall one, and an empty space with the galaxies and stars around it. It's around 6,500 to 7,000 light years away. What they've been able to do now with that picture is you can actually now observe it in its regular form, or now you can see it in infrared, which was awesome. See a lot of cool stuff there.
Great. We do infrared now too. I haven't seen any of those yet. I'm gonna have to actually go check those out.
Yep. It is infrared. It looks sick. I'm hoping they add a lot more of those too. Just amazing, amazing the pictures that they took with that. What was the other thing on there that was they were mentioning? And for you parents out there, let me introduce you to NASA Kids. They do have a site there off to the side. This is where I dig into it a lot. Or NASA Kids allows parents to take the kids on there. The kids can go on there and stuff and check out all the different pictures they have for kids. But now they've also got some projects because obviously with one of the things with us being home, schools are all out. And in fact, it almost seems like every state now has pretty much just said school is out for the rest of the year, which is good for us teachers because it's going to let them know that, hey, we're important. We're more than just educators. We're babysitters too. Anyways, so NASA has gone on there and tried to help out parents by saying, hey, here's some activities your kids could do while they're quarantined. Some of the
let them drive the Mars rover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because the parents don't want to drive them around so they could drive the Mars rover. Yeah. They could be an astronaut. They could train and check out some of the stuff that astronauts do to train to be in the space station. They can build a straw rocket. They could actually make themselves a moon phase calendar, which is awesome. There's also a couple contests. One of them I thought picked out was nice was you can pick the next plant that's going to grow in space. If it was me, I'd pick a redwood tree.
Whoa, a plant to grow in space where there's no oxygen?
Yeah, they've been doing it for years.
Well, I mean, there's oxygen on the space station.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go way outside of the box, I mean, let's watch a chia pet grow in space.
I got a Chewbacca one. I could donate them.
Yeah, there you go.
A bonsai tree.
But knowing our luck, that chia pet would somehow get, like, mutated and, like, kill everyone on the space station.
Do the Bob Ross one. Do the Bob Ross one.
Yeah.
The Bob Ross chia pet, and we'll all be fine because we'll just be painting happy trees.
Yeah, with their entrails.
Absolutely.
Well, that went hard.
It did.
I don't think they need toilet paper up there. Well, they do, but they do have a vacuum that gets most of it away. You imagine a chia pet man getting hit with the Fantastic Four radiation? Good times.
Good God, that would be terrifying.
It's a Bob Ross one. It has to be a Bob Ross one.
I'm telling you.
Happy trees.
It's just the painting version of Event Horizon.
Oh my God, the only horror movie.
Oh boy.
You bring it up.
Ooh. Love that movie. Love it.
Ugh. I love it and hate it at the same time because it scares me.
Malice Hyphen Corp is our parent side. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this. Now, we're not done yet, but I wanted to get this out of the way because for everyone who's been watching, it's everyone's favorite part of the show where everybody is about to mute their mics except for one person. Because we are going to have a week for this Super Whovian rant. And the topic for tonight for Super is going to be about that all-important Netflix series, Tiger King. That's right, Tiger King.
Am I allowed to join in for this?
No, you mute your mic. This is strictly a Super thing. She is the ranter. So I don't see a mic muted on your screen yet. So let's mute your mic. There you go. Super. I'm going to mute my mic because the stages are all yours. Let's see and hear this rant in all of its glory. Go for it.
Jerry Jones.
You how to rant. I can teach you how to rant. I
can't stand it.
How to throw a rant.
I can't stand
it. It doesn't work that way, so make it realistic. I mean, they were enjoyable to a point, but were they fantastic? By no means, no. I mean, I've seen worse movies, we're not gonna lie.
And I'm like, well, she spoke. She may have lived somewhere. Someone slid on a pole, and there was a plane.
And now, another nerd rant with Super Whovian Freak.
Yeah, I made it through an episode of this, one and a half episodes of this garbage that you call television. I left when I saw all of these women fawning over this bleached out ponytail human pile of garbage. Polygamy, I'm fine. Polygamy, you want to be polygamous? I don't care. I don't care. Do it over someone that's not a human pile of garbage in a bleached out ponytail. What is it about this guy? I don't get it. I don't get the appeal. I don't get any of it. All of these are human excrement that deserve everything that's coming towards them. Why people are making money off this garbage, I can't figure it out. I don't know what's wrong with America that they're fascinated by these people and their whatever. They're all mistreatment of animals is disgusting. Their lifestyles are disgusting. Their fashions are disgusting. everything about them just made me want to vomit and made my brain melt. And literally just, I couldn't watch anymore. I had to turn it off. I was getting angry at everything. The elephant. I mean, I've wanted to ride an elephant and never again after this show. They have ruined that dream of mine of wanting to ride an elephant because they rode it into a lake and got dirty and did things that I would like, what the frick is your problem? How are these people not dead in a ditch? How has Darwinism not taken some these people are. Out of America? How has Joe Exotic not been stabbed in prison? These are questions we will never have answers to.
He didn't.
So you didn't like it?
No.
No. An elephant's going in the lake is actually a natural thing. They do go in the lake to bathe, so that is
natural. Oh, yeah, that's completely natural. But
a person riding it is not.
The things that were being said while going into the lake, it was once I saw the polygamy with the things that were being polygamous with, I was like, I can't. You look like a bleached out ponytail, sad Steve Irwin wannabe in, and just can't even. I can't even.
Yes.
You make me sad, America. You make me sad.
And there's still time for him to get shanked.
Yeah, there is.
For you. You're better at running.
He's going to get shanked if he gets pardoned. I tell you that much. There's going to be some PETA obsessed.
I agree with her 100% on everything she just said. She did a better rant than me, and I love you.
By the way, the reason why you can't.
I made it through all 7 episodes, and I felt unclean at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And I wanted to shoot all three of them.
Yeah.
Well, see, the reason why you can't find any of their bodies is because they're fed to the tigers.
That's funny. A given.
My favorite thing is when Carol Bassett is talking about how animals are not supposed to be caged. It's wrong. It's horrible. But yet, this shot of her talking about that, there's a freaking lion behind her in a goddamn tiny cage.
I know.
Ooh!
Yeah.
I'm glad we did this week and not last week.
There are no protagonists in that show. Everyone
there is nothing. The only good things are that the poor animals. That's the only thing that you can root for is it's the poor animals that are being mistreated.
And it's a good thing the fact that at least Joe Exotic, I think Carol Baskis and the other people are still open, but at least Joe Exotic has kind of shut down. But honestly,
his zoo is still going. It's just run by Jeff Howe now.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That guy is. Walking embodiment of drugstore boner pills.
All three of them literally just need to close and neither try to send the creatures off to get rehabilitated to go back into the wild.
Or at an actual zoo with space.
Hey, Raider.
Like the San Diego Zoo.
Raider.
Exactly.
Raider, you are the closest one to Oklahoma. I mean, you're like right there. Have you seen any advertisements? Have you been to the park?
They don't advertise for that. Not down here.
I hope not.
I don't think they. From what I've seen of this, it doesn't look like they have like the marketing skills and the expertise to actually come up with an advertisement to put on not just local television but regional. Like they just don't seem like they have that kind of the chops for that.
Well, some of them don't even have chops after all the meth they've had. they do billboards.
The amount of missing body parts on that show is just stunning.
Not just missing body parts, one arm and a whole entire body.
A couple legs, brain matter somewhere. I don't know.
All sorts of teeth. Oh, yeah, dude, that part was messed up.
The thing that really ticks me off is the whole Walmart meat. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you can't look at pizza the same way again, can you?
I mean, okay.
I just want to point out he's got this whole country music career. There is no goddamn way that's his voice. He's not singing any of that shit.
No,
no, he's just the face. He's.
Are you telling me he's the country's Millie Navilli? Millie Navilli? That's
or it? If it is, Finelli? He's auto-tuned to the max. I mean,
no, somebody looked it up. It's like an actual ghost singer.
Is like, it? Okay, so good.
Somebody's singing those songs for him. You hear his whiny, nasally, little ass talking voice, and then you hear like this big, booming country singer. You're like, no.
You know, to be fair, I have seen some people that have like thin, reedy voices like that, and then they bust out in this baritone operatic style, and it is like, there is no way, no way. But if I hadn't seen it live, I still don't believe it's him, but I am just saying.
I can tell you,
it's not just live, it's talking about live without a mic or anything in person.
Yes, live in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to high school with this guy. Yeah, I went to high school with this guy who I swear to God sounded like Carol Channing. And then he would sing and he sounded like Andre Bocelli. And I am just like, this is not adding up in any way, shape, or form.
Can I tell you who's singing for him?
Yeah.
Carol Effin Baskin.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Musk pointed out that at one point in the show, he did actually sing live at that funeral.
Yeah. My question is too, is like, why did they bring out something like this too for us? Is it for us to, you know, get angry about or feel bad about or what? Like,
are we surprised about this? I mean, America feeds off of filth. It's like,
it literally is filth. And the
people
sad
watch
part
it to feel superior about themselves.
They did. All three of them thrive
off of trashy. Crappy drama. It's why things like the Kardashians have taken off.
It's why
stupid Jersey Shore wannabe nonsense took off, and all of reality TV. I mean, I can't stand most reality TV. Baking shows are fine. So You Think You Can Dance is fine. Those are fine because it's based on things that require actual talent to achieve and be good at. But all of that other garbage can just eat shit.
Yep, I agree. I am so glad that I spent the time when I was watching Tiger King that I was doing a craft project. So I wasn't really watching it. I was more listening to it, and just listening to it made me angry. So
like when you think of this, a lot of these shows are done like what Super was saying, a lot of these shows are done to make you feel better about yourself, i.e. Hoarders, My 600-Pound Life, like My Weird Addiction. All those shows are done for one reason only. People watch them because they're like, oh, my life's not that bad.
No. See, with Tiger King, it didn't make my life change at all. It made me more mad at the way people treat animals. And I love animals. So the way these three groups of people, I'm going to say groups because it is groups, they treat these animals poorly. They should not in otherwise form be kept the way these people. They're not helping these animals. They're doing a lot of damage to them. But
what's sad is that there are more tigers in captivity in the U.S. than exist in the wild anymore.
Yeah. Like, I really want to own a fox, but I won't own one because they're a wild freaking animal.
If I had
I'm just saying, like, if these people weren't doing what they were doing, if they weren't breeding them, we would have, like, a couple thousand tigers left on the planet.
Yeah.
And, like, I can understand, like, with the zoo, they do breeding projects and they try to do that. And they've been successful in some of them. They've been very good about it.
Yeah. They've brought endangered species back from the brink of endangerment. And most zoos do good things, but these ones are not zoos. No, these are like, these are like the human equivalent of the freak show carnivals back where they used to trap, you know. And
they're in it for the moolah.
They're slaves.
They're in it for the money.
Real
quick, I agree with what Mess is saying. They're doing an additional eighth episode that they're going to be releasing in, I think, tomorrow maybe. But it's going to be Joel McHale sitting down with the people from the show. And I agree with Mess. He's like, I can't wait for Joel McHale to just rip these people to shreds.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be beautiful. That I'll watch.
That is definitely going to be something I'm going to watch, probably.
Yeah. That I would watch.
Yeah. So finally, thanks, Thor, for jumping in there because I was trying to chat for like the last 5 minutes. So Mess was some comments in there. He jumped in there. He said he sang at the funeral, sounded the same. And then he talked about Joel McHale this Sunday. And then he talked about how there was a tiger sanctuary a few miles from his house in California, which I don't know where that was. But yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. The reason why people like this show is because, to be perfectly frank, and I've said this many times before, Netflix has found the niche. They found the way to produce interesting document or docuseries. I mean, they're crazy. They have murder docker series. Now they have, well, this is technically a murder one almost. They've got the cats one. I mean, these are all very interesting docuseries about really crazy. Like the thing that got, the one that got me the most was the one called Evil Genius, which is a docuseries. I don't know how many episodes it is, but I remember it because when it happened, I was in the midst of it happened. It was about the pizza bomber guy, and I think it was Ohio or Iowa. I can't remember what state, but it was a guy who had a bomb wrapped around his neck that that he tried to rob a bank with, and eventually the bomb went off on TV and stuff. And it was a whole docuseries about that. And it's amazing the kind of stuff that's behind the scenes. So what they've done is they've literally found topics that have gone into the news, and we've only seen like parts of it. And they've dug in and really said, oh, but here's the real story. And then you're like, holy crap, there's that much more involved in it. That's yeah. what that's why
somewhere Ken watching. Burns is just crying.
No, because his is on Netflix too. I've seen all of his Civil War stuff and World War II as well. So he's doing just
baseball
fine.
Was great.
Yeah. Anyways, well, that guys, that's the cast. We had to end it off on a good note there because we did miss the super rant, which turned into a freaking zoo.
There's an ultimate rant.
A zoo. Thank you guys so much for showing up to the show tonight. We really appreciate it. I see. Where can these fine viewers follow you, sir?
You can follow me at IC Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
Nice. Raider Nick, where can they follow you, sir?
Raider0314 on Twitter and PlayStation Network.
Now, I'm not sure if that was or not, but that was a pretty low-key burp that you got out right before you jumped on there. Good job, sir. Mrs. Malice, where can they follow you?
That's me. I'm Mrs. Malice. You can follow me. I did Twitch for a while, but I don't do it anymore, but you can probably pop up on there, and I might pop it back up. But it's Mrs. Malice 4134.
That's all right.
Twitter. Sorry. I meant Twitter, not Twitch.
And super.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at SuperHoovianNut, and you can follow me on Instagram at SuperHoovianFreak. And, I mean, it's Quarren Twitter, you know. That's what we've been reduced to is Quarren Twitter. So if you want all the fun YouTube stuff that's going on in the stage it shows and everything to come keep your quarantine entertaining, that's what I'm going to have on my Twitter.
You can follow me at Masonic Vader on Twitter, Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation Network. I'm Fortnite-ing. I'm a Galaxy Star Wars-ing. And now I'm actually developing a planet, a colony on Mars. So good times. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate you. We will see you next week. Same time, same bat channel, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You guys keep staying nerdy out there. See you later.
Carry on.
I don't know why.
I was joining you. Don't worry.
I know.
I'm trying to back a girl up.